hey, this is Brian. I listen to it every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock, make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
It's the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR, 1490 AM. And we're heard every Saturday, 12 o'clock to 1:30. And we have a full studio here. We have blockchain CPA Kara Haas, science fiction romance novelist Sabine Priestley. We have our contrarian, Augie. We have SeekingCryptos.com co-founder and TradingView columnist Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1. And standing by on the phone, we have our guest. But I do have audio to play to lead into his segment, so hopefully he'll be patient so I can just play this news item about what really was sort of a groundbreaking decision on his part.
Is it something online? Like through your phone? Is it similar to Apple Pay?
When you mention using Bitcoin to pay for something, it's so newfangled and confusing. Well, it's not unusual to get this response.
Would you pay for your tag with Bitcoin?
I don't even know what Bitcoin is. I've never heard of it in my life.
And how would you like to pay?
But now, at the Seminole County Tax Collector's Office, if you want to pay for your tag, license, taxes with Bitcoin, you can. At the Tax Collector's Office in Seminole County, it's as good as cash or credit.
So what is Bitcoin? Well, it's a form of currency created on the Internet where very tech-savvy people use computers to randomly search for numbers, and when they hit the right combination, they get a Bitcoin.
And you can buy, sell, or trade Bitcoins. For a governmental agency to accept Bitcoin is considered cutting edge by many and risky by others. Some experts say it's too unstable, can go up and down at the drop of a hat, but Seminole County says they got that covered.
Customers can pay their taxes in Bitcoin, and they immediately convert it in real time to the exact U.S. currency that they owe to the Seminole County Tax Collector's Office.
So will folks skip what's in their wallet and pay with Bitcoin? All said no, but many found it intriguing.
It's not that I'm opposed to it, but I think most people are, just because they don't understand it.
The Seminole County Tax Collector's Office says they believe they are the first governmental agency in the U.S. to accept Bitcoin, and feel certain they won't be the last. In Seminole County, Michelle Meredith, West 2 News.
Well, the man responsible for that is Joel Greenberg. He is a longtime resident of Seminole County, 32 years to be exact. He has a passion for business and technology. Prior to taking office, Mr. Greenberg ran a successful multimedia company. He's winning multiple nationally recognized awards. He was elected tax collector in November 2016 and took office in 2017. He has directed the office to introduce new technologies, obviously, to improve infrastructures, open new locations, streamline budgets, and much, much more. And we want to thank him. And he also, as our first guest was, is a little under the weather, so we're appreciating the fact that he's made time for us. Joel Greenberg, thank you for joining us on the Henry Rain Show.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And before we go into the issue at hand, I understand that you have a radio background. Can you tell us about that just a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. So around 2012, 2011 is when myself and my previous business partner, we had a multimedia company here in Central Florida where we owned a bunch of digital billboards and a few radio stations, and we would broker time on other shows. So we had multiple radio productions going, and I had my own show on CBS Sports Radio and Fox Sports Radio, the local affiliate here in Central Florida. So I have a background when it comes to radio. I love radio. Radio is still my passion. So I do appreciate radio very much. But the funny thing is the digital billboards is where we started using the Bitcoin first back in 2013, putting QR codes up on them. And people had no clue what Bitcoin was in 2013, but we started accepting payment for advertising in 2013 on billboards. So that was really my first dabble at it.
And just give us a point of reference. So when you first started accepting Bitcoin for the billboards, what was the value of a Bitcoin then?
$213, I want to say.
Okay. Now, you became Seminole County tax collector, and you defeated an incumbent in the Republican primary that had been in office for over 25 years.
How did you manage to do that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So the previous tax collector was there for 28 years, and I'm only 33 years old, and I had actually just sold my previous company. We got bought out by one of the larger companies, and I went and bought a boat, was doing a bunch of fishing, and needed to get my tag done. And I went into the local office, and I was just amazed at how sort of slow everything was, and you know how the technology wasn't being used to streamline and automate certain things in government. I kind of ticked off and said, you know what, I'm going to run. I'm going to change the way this office operates. And so I sort of did, and everything worked out.
And so you become tax collector of Seminole County, and what was the process? You must have had a full plate of things to do. How did you come to decide you were going to accept Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, I believe?
So, you know, I've dabbled into the crypto world now for a few years, and you know one of the biggest complaints that I had from people was, hey, look, I wish I could make payments for my taxes through my Visa or MasterCard for my house, but you know the third-party processing fee is 3.5-4%. So if somebody's got a tax bill that's rather substantial, let's say it's $50,000 or $100,000, you know, somebody's got a business and they got to pay this large tax bill, you're talking quite a decent chunk of money. So by integrating with BitPay and by accepting Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, you're looking at having a 1% charge for the transaction versus a 3-4%. So that was just an option that we were able to work out with BitPay to be able to offer our customers. The more options that our customers have, I believe, the better. It's something that I wanted to slowly ease the public into because people fear what they don't understand. So this was a good first step to introduce the public to cryptocurrency and ultimately what I believe will be a huge takeover of the financial sector and governments with blockchain technology.
That's actually a really good thing because, the first time I saw Bitcoin was on AppMax. And I went there to buy some gold, and they said they had PayPal, and they charged a huge premium over a spot, and they had Bitcoin on there, and that was my first introduction to Bitcoin, and you got a cash deal for the Bitcoin.
Yep.
So for people that aren't familiar with BitPay, which is what you use in the tax collector's office, and so the taxpayer is going to be added a 1% fee on top of whatever the bill is they're paying, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So how does using BitPay allow you as the tax collector to overcome the volatility of the Bitcoin?
So when we have an agreement in place with BitPay and BitPay's platform that we offer our customers that locks in the rate for 15 minutes. So if a customer comes to our site, and they choose to select Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash as their method of payment, we offer them the amount they owe and then the rate of, Bitcoin at the time for what it is. Let's say, it's $10,000 and Bitcoin is $10,000, which I hope it will be very soon. Then you're looking at a straight, $10,000, one Bitcoin conversion. So 15-minute window is locked in and is guaranteed. So, the second we issue the invoice, if Bitcoin were to drop or skyrocket, it's not on the public here. There's no risk on our behalf. BitPay is taking that risk, and they've guaranteed a 15-minute window where they will honor that rate that they have locked in through the invoice.
And this is currently up and running?
It is. We have not officially launched it. There's a few things aesthetically I want to fix up on the website, but if somebody came to me and they said, hey, I really want to pay, I mean, we could do it right now, but I want everything to be ready to go here in about 2 weeks.
Okay, so right now the utilization hasn't started, but it's functional.
Correct. And, I don't know how many people will choose to do this. I don't anticipate a large volume of people using it. But, again, it's just one of the things where we want to be ready and slowly introduce people to this new technology. I hope it becomes more widely used.
And I wonder, is it possible for you to keep it in Bitcoin and let it appreciate?
That's a great question. Let me answer that by saying right now we don't have the legal basis to really hold it, and nor do we have any need to do that. Everything is paid in U.S. dollars. So eventually we will get to the point where we have to do it through legislation or we have to do it through interpretation of certain laws where we're going to create our own county cryptocurrency, which could be used locally here in the county. All the money has to come through my office anyway, and we get charged bank fees from cities transferring money to our office and then from our office ultimately to the county. So you have hundreds of thousands of dollars in these bank fees, and all we're doing is moving around cash, you know, from bank to bank, and that's just a waste of money. The only people that win are the banks in my eyes. So I would love to move to a value-based ledger system, blockchain, where we can use a county token here to facilitate, you know, transactions back and forth, because right now the only people that are winning are the banks.
Okay. I just want to reiterate what you just said, because if the audience wasn't paying close attention, as sometimes they don't in radio, they would have missed something that was really more groundbreaking than the idea of taking Bitcoin payments for your tax bills. And that, which I think Berkeley over in California has talked about a municipal coin, and other communities have.
Mono CX.
But we actually have you in Seminole County here in Florida that is talking about a native municipal coin. That is, I said that correctly, didn't I?
You did. And there's a community up in Massachusetts, Berkshire, Massachusetts, where they have Berkshires. Berkshires, they're not crypto, but it is still a private currency, and I believe that they're one of the largest, if not the largest, private currency in the United States, where they have about $12 to $15 million in circulation, and the value comes from the circulation of the supply of Berkshires that they have, where the exchange rate is where the value is captured. So 95 cents U.S. dollars equals one Berkshire. So it would be something similar to that, you know. And again, we're in the early stages of this, but if it can be done up in the Northeast with paper currency, it can certainly be done here or anywhere in the country using crypto, because we get to eliminate the third parties that are involved as much as possible. And ultimately, those savings can be passed down to the taxpayers in some form of currency that can be used locally and have more value than the dollar.
I just quickly have to say you're listening to WWPR 1490 AM, Braden in Sarasota, St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay. And Sabine Priestley is chomping at the bit to ask you a question.
Yeah, I just want to chime in and say this is perfect. This is the ideal use case, and this is exactly what needs to happen for this technology to be adopted. And the fact that you're going to circumnavigate the banking fees, it's brilliant. I'm going to be watching this very, very closely.
And I hope you'll be keeping us informed here on the radio show, too.
Well, Disney already does this. They have the Disney Donald Duck dollars.
Hey, you know, Target actually does something similar.
Absolutely.
Target gives you a 5% discount on their
but they're not on the blockchain. You're talking about putting your coin on the blockchain, right?
Correct, but the reason that the 5% discount is able to be offered is because they're not giving cash to anybody. All they're doing is extending essentially credit, and they don't have to use a third party to process and facilitate the transactions. It's all done internally. So using the same concept and on the blockchain, we should be able to have a very efficient, almost like ecosystem here locally, that would be backed by the U.S. dollar, yes. But and here's the funny part. In theory, the less demand we have for U.S. dollars, the more we could curb inflation.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go.
So are we going to take silver up there in Seminole next? Or, you know, silver, the real money, you know, 1964, you know, quarters?
Comes into my office with lean hogs, and they want to pay with lean hogs. And I have somebody that can spot convert lean hogs. I'll find a way to take the lead off.
I love this guy. He should run for president. Jeez.
Well, I think we're going to get to that, too. Maybe not president, but we'll talk about that future in a moment. But we have blockchain CPA Kara Haas here. She's been listening to everything you said, and I know she's got questions, too.
Well, first, thanks so much for being with us, Joel. And as a business owner and property taxpayer, I would love you to influence Manatee County, because I am one of those last-minute taxpayers and just cringe when I have to put up my credit card and 3% convenience fee. So
convenient for the bank.
I was going to ask you if you thought that this might incentivize people to move to Seminole County, and I already answered my own question. but along those lines, are you getting interest? It sounds to me like the best way. I would love for Florida to become a crypto-friendly state, modeled after Wyoming is the state that comes to mind as paving the way. Do you think it's a grassroots organizational effort, like starting with Seminole County accepting and creating the awareness? How can we become that?
I think that's a great question. I think that we can use Seminole County, and we can use the Office of Tax Collector, for example, as, you know, independent elected constitutional officer. I don't have anybody above me, really, except the voters. So I have this freedom to explore with certain technologies. You know, it's my head at the end of the day that's on the line. But we need to get people in office that think the same way and have the same mindset of, let's not just, you know, keep things the way they are. Let's always try to improve the way the government operates. Is there a better way to do things? Is there a different way to do things? Not necessarily better. You know, ultimately, at the end, we'll decide whether it's better or not. But I think that we can use Seminole County as a petri dish for innovation when it comes to blockchain technology, and we can use the office to, you know, slowly move everything over to the blockchain, and we can have, you know, a frictionless, you know, environment here where people can facilitate a transaction of real estate in an hour, you know, peer-to-peer without any third parties and all the legacy systems that are currently in place. So it's going to take time, though. I would say this is very similar to the Internet in, like, 1991, 92, you know, but ultimately in a very short amount of time, I think 5 years would be a good time frame here to say, look, if people don't, if businesses, government agencies, whatever, don't start embracing blockchain technology, they're going to be out of business or left behind, because it's clearly the way everything's going, with this open, transparent, distributed, decentralized environment.
Joel, I said we could take a break because I know you've got some upper respiratory things going on. Do you want us to go to a break now, or do you just want to keep going?
That's up to you. I'm feeling fine, actually, so it's up to you guys.
Okay, good. We'll
I'm
going to
send them some of Gold Bug One's, blue formula here.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that, too. We're still here in Seminole County, though. The tax collector's office, you've come into office. You make all these changes. You mentioned how you're a constitutional officer that doesn't have to answer to anybody but the voters, but you still have public opinion out there to deal with. And I'm not going to bring up some of the articles I've been reading about Seminole County and some of the things that you have done, but you're not shy about ruffling feathers up there. I can pretty much say that from my readings. What happened when this initiative started? What kind of reactions were you getting?
Well, so Seminole County has been run very much like a cartel over the last 30 years. You had the same people in place. You know, and they were pulling all sorts of shenanigans. I came in from the outside, and it was a great year to ride the Trump wave as an outsider and defeat an incumbent. And these people, you know, they have roots in the community. So there were not a lot of people that were thrilled with me, but there were enough to elect me, which is all that mattered. So the current makeup of, you know, the board of county commissioners, and they fight me along the way with everything they can. They don't understand half the stuff that I'm trying to do. When I wanted to declare my office being revenue officers, I was able to find legislation from 1872, which says the tax collectors are revenue officers and we are exempt from open carry laws. So I was able to find a way to carry a badge and a gun around, right? Look, I carry a gun anyway. More comfortable open carry than it is on my ankle. So that was one thing that, I was proud to be able to establish was, you know, having a revenue enforcement division, because we had to seize property. People don't always want to surrender their property voluntarily. And we have a whole group of people up here that, you know, don't think the government has a right to exist. So instead of relying on another independently elected constitutional officer to perform security services for our office, that would define us being independent, in my opinion, I formed an armed division. We moved on from that. We also adopted artificial intelligence platform in our website, where we have a chatbot, essentially, that is constantly learning. And we were able to move a lot of the volume away from call centers.
I experienced the chatbot.
Yeah.
Like, no, I just want to get Joel.
1,000 people at one time they can serve, right? So you want to look at savings from that perspective. Streamlining and automating as many things as possible is top priority. So the artificial intelligence platform that we have there, and also built in other areas, have significantly increased the number of transactions that we can do. And I've looked at this office like a business, and it sort of is a business. You know, we run independent of tax dollars. So we do enough transactions that there's a fee or a commission attached to each transaction, just like a private sector business, but we have to operate within those revenues that we collect. You know, like the sheriff's office, for example, not expected to be revenue neutral to bring in money. You know, they provide safety and public safety. My office, you know, we've been mandated to do all these different services for concealed weapons, the birth certificates, the tag, title, driver's license, collecting taxes. So we have this myriad of services that we do that every service has a fee or commission attached to it. So, you know, at the end of the year, we're in the black. We're one of the few, there's probably 10 tax suckers that are in the black every year, and we're one of them. So I said, okay, well, look, if we bring in revenue, then let me go to work here, and let me try to bring in revenue, and let me do what I do. And I just get fought along the way from people who don't understand what I'm trying to do. Maybe that's my bad. Maybe I haven't done a great job selling it to people that really don't, in my eyes, matter, but they can cause problems. But, you know, at the end of the day, look, I funded my own election. I ain't bought and paid for it. I don't owe anybody except the voters, you know, my best efforts. So, you know, at the end of the day, I can tell all these people where to go. And there's some freedom that comes with that. You know, and they don't like it with some, you know, 33-year-old coming into office. I mean, the youngest constitutional officer in the state. But this is like, I'm trying to prove a point that you can use government to spearhead certain projects and initiatives, you know, that ultimately the private sector can help, you know, catch up with. But that's sort of where I'm at up here. You know, things are political to an extent, but come on, it's the tax collector. It should be the least political office of any of them, in my eyes.
We're speaking with Joel Greenberg. He is the Seminole County tax collector. You may have read about his innovation in bringing Bitcoin tax payments into the Seminole County tax collector's office. And I'm going to go a little bit different direction, Joel, but I'm going to bring you back to blockchain with it. One of the things local tax collectors have to deal with are the tourist taxes, the bed taxes, and Airbnb has made arrangements with, I think, 39 out of the Florida counties to collect and pay those taxes to the county. Now, where does Seminole County stand on that?
So that's another good question. So when I first was elected, about 3 months in, Airbnb approached my office, and you know, they wanted to get this tourist development tax contract signed, right? Voluntary collection, at least on the BCA. So I said, you know what? I have no problem signing this. However, I'm looking at your app, and there are several things that I believe that we could help monetize, bring in money both for you and the office, that you guys are not doing. And one of these was like this excursion type thing they have, right? Expedia, right? You go and you book a flight, and they ask you next, you need a hotel, do you want tickets to this, and that? They weren't really doing that in Orlando at all. So I had approached Airbnb. We had a conversation where Airbnb agreed twice to give us the exclusive rights in Seminole County and in Orange County to offer all non-lodging related services through their app. Right? I mean, somebody from China books, you know, an Airbnb near Disney, we get the right to sell them flights, theme park tickets, you name it, okay? And then somewhere along the line, they kind of either realized what they did or I don't know what happened, and they slowly started to back out of this deal where we had worked very hard to get vendors lined up, which ultimately would have had a huge economic impact for Seminole County and for Airbnb. So I'm not signing anything with Airbnb until they concede something, because they really screwed, you know, my office out of a deal that we had negotiated. It was a very good deal, too, so shame on them.
All right. Well,
I'm canceling my Airbnb subscription after hearing that.
I understand your point of view there. Here locally, why it was relevant to us is in Tampa Bay, Hillsborough, Pinellas, and to our south, Sarasota counties have all made agreements with Airbnb. Manatee County has not made an agreement, and instead we are suing Airbnb here, but not for the reasons of Joel Greenberg, just because we don't want them to collect the taxes, which is self-defeating.
I totally get it. And you know what? My point of view was, like, instead of fighting with them, why don't we embrace their technology and build on it? And that's what we had initially tried to do. You know, we had such a sweet deal set up, and then they just kind of walked. So I'm not signing anything. Plus, Seminole County, we don't have huge numbers when it comes to tourist development tax stuff, but Orange County does. And the fact that they agreed to give us Orange County, the exclusive right to Orange County to sell everything, that would have been huge, okay? And shame on Orange County for not asking.
Joel, let me not cut you off, but just change this, tweak the direction a little bit, because we are looking at the clock here, too. So where I thought this question was going to go was the fact that many future-looking people are saying that Uber, Airbnb will become obsolete through the blockchain because their services can be recreated and decentralized. But it sounds to me, with someone like you there,
you might be able to create that system right there for your own county to handle this and collect the taxes and find the places for people to stay. Is that in the horizon for you?
No, look, what you said is true. You know, and I would take that a step further. I think you could look at companies like Amazon being completely obsolete at a certain point. You know, I mean, all the middlemen that currently are making a boatload of money, you know, by simply facilitating transactions from point A to point C, you know, then in point B with blockchain, yeah, you could look at a case where these giant companies that simply help people communicate, really, or they're just, you know, changing data, could be obsolete because of blockchain. I mean, this sounds crazy, but blockchain could eliminate war to an extent.
I'm moving to Seminole and voting for this guy. As soon as he said, I hate Amazon, I hate Amazon. He said, make Amazon obsolete. I'm like, I couldn't agree more.
Now, since you brought up voting, and before I go to this question, I do want to give anybody else here the chance to ask a question relative to what we were talking about. Anybody? Yes, I thought Augie would.
I am impressed with blockchain, actually. I'm the contrarian here, but I do think the question about currencies is proving more and more doubtful, whether it's Bitcoin or anything else. So the point is, you are doing something that's quite pragmatic and useful. And if banks are a factor, the banks have got to conform to what blockchain offers. Am I right about that?
I completely agree. Look, banking is necessary, but banks are not. Those are the words of Bill Gates.
So, Andy mentioned about voting, he mentioned about presidency earlier, but I think maybe I've heard talk about something a little bit more local than the presidency in the White House, and the same breath with your name, and I believe it was Congressman Matt Gaetz mentioned you as a potential congressional candidate. What do you have to say about that?
Matt Gaetz, I'm very proud of Matt Gaetz to say that. Right now, Stephanie Murphy, Democrat, represents the 7th Congressional District out of Florida, and there are two candidates seeking the Republican nomination right now. I am not one of them. I am not going to be running for Congress in 2018. We'll see what happens. 2020 looks a lot more lucrative to take another step somewhere else. So that's what we'll say.
Okay. Anything you want to – again, thank you for giving us so much more time under the conditions that you're speaking with. Anything else you want to leave our audience with?
No, I just thank you guys for having me on, and I am very grateful that you all appreciate and understand some of the topics that we discussed. And, you know, it's exciting times that we live in, and no entity is adept, or no entity is immune from the rules of evolution, right? You evolve, you adapt, you die. So that's kind of where we're at.
So I got one last question. Do you own Trigger, the blockchain Trigger?
No, I do not.
That's the one that it encrypts your gun. And so he's packing. I mean, you know, but I love that. I love the fact that you're packing. I mean, that's great.
All right.
It's like
show.
The new sheriff in town in the OK Corral, you know?
Joel, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. And enjoy your rest.
Thank you all. Yep, all right. Have a good one. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All these sick people, once they get talked to us, they just feel better.
Yeah, you know, it's that gold bug one formula.
All right. Well, we have another break to get to, and when we come back, I guess all the extra material that I put together this morning when everybody told me they weren't going to be able to be a guest, we'll also go where all the other material every week goes to. You're listening to the Henry Rain Show.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. to 1.30 p.m. And I thought when I heard that the guests wouldn't be making it today, that would have much more time to self-promote and tell you about the Bradenton Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup. But this is actually the only second time I've promoted this show. Unusual, I know. But it is coming up at 3 o'clock.
I didn't get the memo, Henry.
Yeah. We've been through that one before. At Connect Bradenton, downtown Bradenton, guest will be Samuel Arms. He is launching a blockchain, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency consultancy group. He was a guest on our last show, very well received here in the studio. And he has also worked for U.S. Special Operations Command on cryptocurrency threats, for the U.S. State Department on blockchain and cryptocurrency issues. So we'll be talking to him about that. And hopefully you brave the rain. Doesn't seem to be as bad as it was being made out to be. And we'll see you at 3 o'clock at Connect Bradenton. Go to meetup.com if you need to get maps and things like that. So in the studio, we have Cara Haas, blockchain CPA. We have Sabine Priestley, also struggling through and soldiering on being under the weather, not the physical weather, but the health weather. Augie making his contributions as usual today, and Andy is also here. And after we get through Cara's time, regardless if it's 1:30 or not, we've got to get a forecast from you on what's coming up in the marketplace.
Let's do that first. Let's do the forecast.
I've already got this.
Go on, Cara. I got to get ready.
I'll be
short.
Yeah. All right.
I can cut you off easier than I can cut him off. You've got to think. Just trust in your host.
Trust in the host. Talking trouble. There's your trouble.
There's your trouble. Trouble with Cara Haas. What you got this week, Cara?
Well, I became very interested in, excuse me, I'm catching
the
bug.
Go bug one. Please go bug one. Special sauce.
Oh, my goodness. Get me on the mic. Hopefully I won't stop. Excuse me. So my big thing this week was taking note of the 51% attacks and the hacks where you can or your mining pool can take over more than 51% of the network, the hashing power.
What is hashing power?
So the hashing power is the ability to confirm the algorithms and secure the network. And the whole purpose of a decentralized peer-to-peer system is no one, it
so
would be too expensive.
You mean like the transactions that we hear all these computers doing about that makes the Bitcoin transactions happen?
Yes.
Or whatever crypto happens.
It's the computer manipulation. In fact, it even happened to Vert in particular where they did the Wall Street version of spoofing. You're spoofing the timestamps. They were able to gain more than 51% control, the hackers, the mining pool. So in Verge in particular, they use five different algorithms that miners can elect whichever one they want to use to secure the network. But they found the one that was most vulnerable. And the way it's set up is that as the transactions are all simultaneously occurring, I can't remember off the top of my head how many per second with birds, but good amount.
That's a technical term, but bunch.
That's perfect. That's the one I need. That's always the one I'm looking for. So they write a feature. It's designed as a feature into the algorithm, into the Verge coin, so that the computer can process and go back and change a timestamp if that transaction was supposed to fall above the one that it came in. So if it was confirming transaction 100, but if transaction 102 came in above it, the algorithm is allowed to, the script is allowed to go back.
I think Sabine once used an analogy of a railroad train with all the cars. So is this like putting one car in front of another car?
Yes. That there's the feature has the ability to take that car and put it where it belongs.
Or put it where it doesn't belong.
So if you spoof it, and if you gain control, you have the ability to put it in the wrong place. So that's exactly what they did, is they gained control of the network, and then they moved the cars ahead where they didn't belong. And
they got off the train first.
They got off the train first. And from there, they could also actually counterfeit Verge coins. They were making, I think, way a bunch times a bunch, like $80 per second U.S. dollars that they were able to counterfeit. And I can't remember if this was the April hack or just recently, but it happened in April around the same time as they announced strategic partnerships, which was
strange.
So you're saying the wrong place is, you can put it in the wrong place to do what?
You can put it in the wrong place to spoof the market.
Deliberately spoof it.
To literally spoof it. You can also create what's called denial of service attacks. So I am distracting you by pinging. You're an exchange or a trader or another miner.
Right.
Say you're competing against me to mine.
Right.
So I can spoof you, move the train on the train track, and then I can totally start pinging you so you can't get through and you can't mine. You can't.
So I can do nothing. I'm handicapped.
Exactly. I buckle or chain you down to the train track.
Sounds
which
good.
I know. I knew as soon as
I sign up for that train.
It was a
I've
slow,
seen that movie.
It was a slow moving train
processing
in my head, and I saw Andy moving in for the mic and knew I was going to regret that analogy.
Okay, let me redirect this just a little bit. So you have a 51% attack. You've got over half of the mining power, mm-hmm. and you're trying to do these different things. Now, is this you're using Verge as the example? Do they have a smaller network of computers so it's easier to get to 51%?
So what they've done is they figured out which algorithms were easiest, most manipulatable, based on the economic strength that it made the most sense for them to get control of that script.
So to use a technical term, do they have a bunch of computers?
So they have a bunch of computers.
Okay.
They have 51%. But to just finish that up and take it where I think you might be going with it is proof of work. Let's say Ethereum and Ethereum Classic is a perfect example of that, where if I'm a miner on Ethereum and I'm mining 2.5%, which is not anywhere near 51%. But if I am able to take that and move and start mining Ethereum Classic, it uses the same algorithm, ET hash. So effectively, with Ethereum Classic having as small of a market cap as it does, say less than $2 billion or about,
now
maybe
you're a big
before
fish.
The crash, now you're a big fish. Now you have 51%. And it doesn't matter anymore. The barriers to entry are so much higher when you're talking Bitcoin and you're talking Ethereum and your higher market cap. But if you're a fork and you're a smaller market cap, economically, you're at risk. Now, if you use the same proof-of-work mining algorithm, you're at risk of being hacked. It's literally a matter of time.
So, the fewer... Go ahead, Augie.
How often does the same algorithm become a problem? Because it sounds like it repeats itself in other ways.
Whenever there's a fork or if it's a coin that adopts the same algorithm.
And if you were to judge as to numbers of likely occurrence, that would be...
That I have not gotten into the exact numbers at this point, but it seems to me any fork of your bigger proof of works are going to end up being that.
So for the average person listening who isn't a miner, what do they need to take away from this? Or do they need to stay away from these smaller coins? Or?
If it is a smaller market cap, and I'm looking forward to studying this more and putting out more through the show on this in the future, but if it's a smaller market cap and it's a proof-of-work coin, you need to see what it's a fork of and be aware of it.
How does a fork? I got a question. How does a fork matter? I mean, does it matter if it's a Bitcoin?
Because
you're making a smaller pond to play in.
Okay.
Whenever there's a fork, it typically goes down to the bottom in terms of market cap. So actually, it wouldn't even be a fork if you're playing in a small market cap, smaller than your top 10, top 20. You need to be aware. If it uses the same algorithm, hashing algorithm, because now I have that ability on my computer to mine. And
I can just switch over and
take it over.
Reminding people about our lack of self-promotion this week, you have a place people can find your articles, don't you?
I'm still sorting that out. I would like it, actually, most of my articles. I'm really enjoying the opportunity to write fundamental analysis in some of my articles for SeekingCryptos.com. In addition, depending on demand and what people want to read, I'm still working through KRHPA.com.
Okay. And then...
And Sabine stalks me.
SabineGreenstein.com also, if you want to find the literature that we keep talking about that you write.
All things Sabine. And follow us on Twitter. I mean, I know Carr and I get off in some fun tangents, so Twitter is a great place to stalk us.
And actually, if you can't remember the handles, you just Twitter search the names, and it'll come up. Augie, anything you want to promote?
I just want to thank these guys for coming and seeing my artwork and putting some of it. I say guys, girls, whatever. They're guys
to
me.
I don't think he's getting us confused with men.
No, I don't think so. Not far from it. I've had too many other...
Well, I was trying to give them credit. They're the ones that made the trip.
Getting lost in that. I appreciate the visit they made, and I think they might have enjoyed themselves.
All right. And then... SeekingCryptos.com, which will take us back to where we said we were going, which is your analysis of where the market's going. But the best thing to do is to sign up for SeekingCryptos.com. I'm getting emails, I would say, twice a day now.
Yep. We're getting there. But this market is definitely bottoming. I mean, I shouldn't say definitely, but it's showing signs of a bottom and a reversal. And there's a three-day rule there, and we are into the third day. So if we don't see
what
a movement.
What is the three-day rule?
3 days actually invented by Gann, and Gann was uses astronomy, it's phases of the moon type thing. But anyways, the three-day rule is one of the first three prime numbers, and if you're into all the Fibonacci and all those prime numbers things, there's a three-day rule, and if you don't see another move down here, it's likely at this level, because the market is pulled back such an extreme, we move up from here, and I'm shopping away. I'm buying it up.
And
I just give a shout out too to Colleen, our crypto noob girl. I'd love to get her back in the studio so we could maybe outnumber the boys.
We're building a luge here. One of those. What are the Jaeger luges? Have you ever seen one?
No.
Am I the only one that's done the Jaeger luge?
Yes.
Oh my God! You get a big ice block. You put a big thing in it, and you do Red Bull and Jaeger, and you pour it down there, and you try to take in as much as you can in one, you know.
Jaegermeister's nasty.
Oh, that stuff's good. When it comes off that ice luge, it's like, But I digress. Market's moving up, Henry. It's time to step in and start adding slowly.
Well, there just in risk of being a contrarian, some of the material that we didn't get to today, were a couple of analysts that were predicting we're going to test the old lows and perhaps old lows from February.
That's possible. I mean, it's possible.
5,000 or 5,500.
If you're long term, you know, you just look at it as it's an opportunity to buy.
That's right. You don't worry about that $2,000 you just lost. It's all coming back.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it all comes back.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks to Joel Greenberg, Seminole County Tax Collector. Thanks to Charlie Schrem, Crypto.IQ, although I actually have CryptoIQ.co as the website. And that
no, it's
me.
Crypto, is it?
Yeah. So, but thanks to Google, our friend for everything, you just put CryptoIQ into the search and you'll find
it
all.
Up.
And thanks to Carl Haas, thanks to Breen Priestley, thanks to Augie, thanks to AKA Goldbug1 Andy. And we will be seeing you hopefully at the meetup in about an hour and a half. And we will also have a guest next week, too. So and
sounds like a winner.
And it looked like Cara was about to say something.
Oh, that is definitely worth it. Even if you're not sure about crypto, it's worth coming to the meetup today. Samuel is such an impressive speaker.
I noticed they dress pretty, they're dressed to kill here. They got that red makeup, the red lipstick going on, they're shining, and this poor kid, he doesn't know what's coming in. He does not know what's coming in.
How far is his commute too late for him to turn around?
It's called body. He has one.
Oh, but he really is, in all seriousness, quite an impressive speaker. Fantastic to hear.
That's right. He's got a mind sitting on top of that body.
That's the word I was looking for, yeah, mind.
But it's a near mind. That is, he has no history.
Always one to bring us back.
The girls are about to give him some history today, I think.
Has a surplus of history.
That's right.
So you can share some with him.
And some of that in the 60s is,
Yeah, which I was attempting to do the other day.
All right. With that, we'll go. See you next week.
Every time it rains, it rains pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven? You'll find your fortune falling all over the town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down.